This morning we're taking a brief break from our preaching through Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we're turning to the next letter of Paul, to the Colossians, written from the same place, I understand. Paul also writes Colossians from prison, and having some similar themes. The reason we're making this brief switch this morning is because this is the passage that we've chosen for our home visiting theme for this year. That's where our elders come and minister to us from house to house with the Word of God. And often we have had the practice where we choose a theme and a passage and have the pastor preach on it and then go from house to house and work through these blessed teachings in fellowship with each other, in discussion with each other. Maybe you remember, and I wouldn't be surprised or disappointed if you don't, I preached a sermon from Colossians chapter 1 with the same title about a year ago. It was to be our family visiting theme last year, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. But you also know that with the various lockdowns over the course of the past year, not many family visits of that nature actually took place. So we thought about just using the same theme, which in a sense we're doing, although this is a totally new sermon. Last year, if you do remember, we tried to give a bird's eye view of Colossians chapter 1, taking in the whole swath. And now I'm going to sort of hone in just on the last three verses, ultimately, to have a narrower focus. So perhaps the two approaches will be complementary to each other. Colossians chapter 1, page 1353 in our pew Bibles. I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. This is the Word of God. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, that is, in Christ, in Jesus. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. And the last three verses there, 27 through 29, are our text for this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have before us, in these words of the Apostle Paul, a majestic, glorious message. He speaks of it as a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he speaks of this mystery as a blessing that has been revealed. God has willed to reveal this mystery. We know this blessing. We have this hope. And it's a confidence that we have for today, Christ in you, and a certainty we may have for the future, the hope of glory. Because of who Christ is, because of what Christ has done, because of who Christ is for us, Christ in you, we have the hope of glory. Now, we have spent a number of sermons over the course of this past year focusing on hope, the message of hope in Scripture. And we've been able to see together that hope is something that we may be sure about for the future, even though we don't have a full grasp on it today. So when we speak of the hope of glory, we speak of what we look forward to because of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though presently we are experiencing many difficulties and many challenges. And particularly because we live in the days in which we live, and over against the difficulties that we do experience, it's good for us to be reminded and encouraged again and again in the hope that is ours. The hope is in the future, but we have that hope, we have that certainty, we have that confidence today because of Christ. So we want to dig into what that means for us. We want to reflect together as a congregation, as we have been seeking to encourage each other, on what it means that we have been entrusted a message, a mystery that has been revealed. We want to share this blessing with others. We want to be disciples making disciples. We want others to know what we know, and we want to encourage one another in that glorious task. And so that's the word I want us to focus on together this morning: Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the three things we'll see together as we make our way through these last verses of this chapter in Colossians 1 is that He is the mystery we enjoy. The blessing that we're talking about is Jesus. It's Christ. Christ in you. It's the glorious Savior, the Son of our God and Father, the God-man who has come to earth to atone for the sins of His people and has been raised again in glory. So, He is the mystery we enjoy. And because of that blessing, Christ in you, the hope of glory, He is the message we extend to all. We want all people to know that. We will say with the Apostle Paul, Him we preach. Him we preach. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves, we preach Jesus Christ. And finally, in the third place, He is the manner in which we exert ourselves. He is the one who is with us. He is the one who enables us. He is the one who strengthens us, who upholds us, and works through us. And that summarizes the Christian life, I would say, as disciples making disciples. We'll see that in the passage as it unfolds. The Apostle Paul here in this context has begun to speak about mystery. And when we see the word mystery, perhaps we get a little queasy, or perhaps there are people who get all excited when they hear about mystery. Everybody loves a whodunit, perhaps an Agatha Christie novel or something like that, where there is some secret that has been withheld, and your desire is to sort of figure this out. And finally, when the secret comes to light, when it is revealed and understood, there is a sense of relief and satisfaction. Well, the Apostle Paul is speaking of mystery, but he's not speaking about a deep and dark secret. And he's not speaking about weird and strange rituals. He's speaking ultimately of the blessing that has now been revealed by God's grace in his desire to show the world the way of salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the previous days, much of this, as verse 26 is talking about, was hidden. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. What was unknown, what we never would have imagined, what we never could have figured out, what we're talking about here when we speak of the mystery in a definitive way, is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. And we would never have come to that in and of ourselves. That's something about the blessing of salvation that God has revealed that ought to make us rejoice with the Apostle Paul. God has willed to make this blessing known to us. God has not kept this a secret from us, whereas we could never have figured it out, and though we would have tried, or people seek various ways to find hope, to find satisfaction, to find meaning and purpose in their lives. People invent various religions to try to take the edge off or make their life seem purposeful. But that's not the way it is with the true religion. That's not the way it is with Christianity. God has willed to reveal his Son. It's God's grace, God's coming to us. Who would ever have imagined that the way of salvation would be God coming to us, would be God sending his Son, would be Jesus dying on a cross and being raised again? It's all God. It's all beyond what we would ever have asked or imagined. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's never entered into the heart of man to imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And now this mystery has been revealed. And to cut to the chase, as the Apostle Paul says in verse 27, the mystery is this. This is it, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This blessing that we're talking about is Jesus Christ. A blessing that he may be known. And again, as I said, this is not something that is a deep, dark secret. It's now to be openly proclaimed to the world. And it's not something that is exclusive for an exclusive little club. It is something that that we're told here, Paul is saying, that is declared, revealed to all his saints, and among the Gentiles, that is to say, throughout all the world. It's for all the nations. It's for people of every tribe and tongue, of every color and every language. We are but one human race, and there is one way to God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has been made known to us. So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we need to appreciate very briefly what we're talking about, who we're talking about when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to see that Paul has already talked about some of those things, just verse 15, for instance, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What we're saying here is Jesus is God. Verse 16, by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. So Jesus is Creator God. Alongside of God the Father, we have God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we see here that Jesus is an exalted, majestic, glorious God and Savior. By him were all things created, verse 16. All things were created, at the end of verse 16, through him and for him. So we have by him, through him, for him. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus gets all of the glory. Verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. In Jesus, all things hold together. It's all about Jesus Christ. And He's the head of the body, verse 18. And this blessing you have already come to know. Verse 21, you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. So here's the thing. Now we are in Christ, and Paul actually flips it. It's the same point, but it's another way of saying it. Now Christ is in us. And what a glorious blessing that is to know. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we need. That's what everybody who doesn't know this blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ needs so desperately and needs to know and hear about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when we speak of Christ in you, we're speaking about a very intimate, rich relationship between Christ and His people. This is the riches of God's glory. This is so rich. This is glorious. This is weighty. This is beautiful by the grace of God. And so when we speak about Christ in us, we have to understand in the first place in terms of what it is to be in Christ, in relationship to Christ. That means, first of all, we have the glorious blessing, as we saw in verse 21, of being reconciled to God. So it's what Christ has done for us. It's the blessing of having our sins forgiven, knowing that we are right with God because of what Christ has done for us. And then we say, Lord, it's not me, it's Christ. I could never have earned this. I've tried and I've failed miserably, but it's Christ. It's all because of Christ that I may live in the joy of forgiveness. Christ in you. This is the mystery we now enjoy by God's grace as we rest in Jesus. We also speak of the blessing that Christ is with us. So in the midst of all of our challenges, in the midst of the difficulties that we face, over against the fears that sometimes overwhelm us, when we say Christ in us, we may know that Christ is always with us. Just think of the language of familiar Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley, verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. The blessing of knowing Christ with us is that we can face the challenges. We can go through them. He goes through them with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or how Psalm 23 ends, the familiar ending to Psalm 23. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because it's Christ in us, because Christ has been for us, because Christ has been with us, because Christ continues to go with us, we know that we will be with Christ forever. That's the hope of glory that we speak about. And that's a certainty that we may have. So in the midst of all of our challenges, we know Christ is in me. Christ is with me. Christ upholds me. Christ forgives me. Christ will not leave me or forsake me. And so I have a glorious hope that will never, ever disappoint. I have a hope that is certain, the hope of glory. And again, the word glory speaks of a weightiness. It speaks of the majesty and splendor of God, the glory and beauty of God. And one day, we will be with Him forever. That's our firm confidence because of Christ in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we don't have to be afraid in the face of the present peril. That's why we can persevere. Christ in you. He is the mystery we enjoy. But because the secret is out, the mystery has been revealed. Because God has been pleased to send His Son, and God is now pleased to have this message proclaimed. The secret is out, and we cannot keep silent. And you see that in the Apostle Paul, and we need to learn that from the Apostle Paul. We want to speak of this blessing. He says then in verse 28, Him we preach. Him we preach. And as he has said in other places, like 1 Corinthians 2, we preach Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves. There's nothing about us that would be able to be held up before the world where we would say, hey, you should look at me. You should be like me. No, Him we preach. We preach Jesus Christ. Hope is found in Him. So because we have come to taste of the blessing of sweet fellowship with God in Jesus Christ, we want, with the Apostle Paul, to declare this blessing to those around us. We want to be able to say, Him we preach. Now, Paul goes on in verse 28, and he sort of says what goes alongside of preaching Jesus. So in the words that follow, he says, Him we preach, that's his focus, that's the main emphasis here, Him we preach. But then he says, alongside of that, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So, along with preaching Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, there need to be warnings. We need to be challenged. People need to be convicted of their sin. We all do. So to preach Christ as the glorious way of salvation, the way to the Father, the way we enjoy sweet fellowship, requires that we know our sin and we confess our sins and understand that Jesus is the Savior for our sins. So there's an urgency here. We want to preach Christ because we need to warn others, or along the way, we must warn others. And then the verse follows, and teaching every man. We want to know Him better. We want to grow in love for Jesus, in understanding of Him. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But look at the way Paul speaks here, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. As we meet people, Paul would have this sense, every opportunity I have, I want to preach Christ. I want people to know Jesus. And I don't want to withhold that from anyone. And there's a challenge for all of us to have that same sort of urgency. Yes, he says we are to do it in all wisdom. It's maybe not the first thing that comes out of your mouth every time you meet somebody for the first time, but it is your desire to be able to get to that with every person you know. Don't you want those that you meet, don't you want those in your workplace, your colleagues at work, to know this same blessing? To be able to be presented, as the end of verse 28 says, perfect before Jesus Christ, that they may stand in glory, have the same hope of glory, that they may see Jesus face to face and know that they can stand before Him without fear because Christ in you, the hope of glory, because you stand in Christ. A challenge for us is to think about those you meet, to think about your neighbors, to think about your colleagues, to think about your children, to think about those we sit in church with, to think of all those the Lord brings through the doors of our church, and to have the same eager, passionate desire that they would be presented, as Paul says, perfect in Christ Jesus, mature in Christ. I wonder if we remember the things that we were focusing on through the course of this past year, in the course of your life training, discipleship training. Remember we talked about God's agenda in the world is to transfer, to see people transferred into the kingdom of His Son. And then as we're in fellowship with Jesus, as we're in Christ, we're in the kingdom of His Son, we want to be transformed into the likeness of His Son. So transferred into the kingdom, transformed into the likeness of Jesus. If that's God's agenda, remember, then our agenda is that we should also press forward toward maturity, to be these perfect ones. Now, we know we're not perfect in and of ourselves, but we know we stand blameless before God in Jesus Christ. We want to be mature, so we want to press forward toward maturity. Remember, by prayerfully setting our minds on Christ and upon His Word. And if that's our goal for ourselves, to press forward toward maturity, prayerfully setting our minds on Christ and on His Word, then our goal for others, as we preach Him we preach, is also that we would say we want to see others move toward Christ, either to be transferred into His kingdom if they've never known Him, and then to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, moving toward Jesus, moving toward the right, or moving forward in Christ. And we want to move others toward that maturity. That was Paul's goal here for everyone. That needs to be our goal and our prayer for everyone, as we do that in wisdom and patience and kindness and graciousness, by prayerfully speaking God's Word to them, by holding forth the Word of life, Him we preach. He is the message we extend to all. You saw all the everys and the alls in verse 28. There is an urgency that just wants us to overflow with this desire to say, Him we preach. So when we warn, when we challenge, when we convict in the light of the Word of God, and we need to be shown our sin, and we sometimes need to show others their sin, in all of this we say, but it's Him that we preach. We preach Jesus as the forgiveness of sins. We preach Jesus as the way to the Father. We preach Jesus as the hope of the world. Christ, the hope of glory. And you may know Him too as you come to the Father through Him. And as we teach, you know, these are the ways we want to grow in understanding. We want to grow in likeness to the Lord Jesus. Recognize that we are always learning, and always recognizing we fall short and we fail and we struggle. And again, it's Him we preach. It's Jesus that we preach. We're not preaching ourselves. We know that we will fail, and we go to God for forgiveness, and we find it because it's Him that we preach. He is the message we extend to all. That will require of us that we desire by God's grace to be Christ-like in a loving concern for all those around us. An earnest desire to put ourselves out there. An earnest desire to be courageous. Earnest desire to exert ourselves. That brings us to our third point this morning. He is the manner in which we extend ourselves. We may think to ourselves, well, that's a little much. It's not always easy. I struggle with these things, and I experience my failings, and I have my own fears, and there are all the difficulties that swirl around us in the midst of these days. Verse 29, Paul says, it's to this end that I also labor. What's his end? What's his desire? Well, he, as he said in verse 28, He wants to preach Christ. He wants to warn every man. He wants to teach every man in all wisdom. He wants to present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. He wants them to know that blessing of knowing God in Christ. So to this end, he says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And so what you see here is Paul's speaking about exerting himself with great intensity. You have to see the picture here of what we might call an exhausted apostle. But it's not him. Yet not me, he says, but Christ in me would be the point that he's making. But here's where this touches down with us in terms of where we're at. And that's an encouragement. That's a help. Because just to take it back to verse 24, in terms of the laboring and the striving and the struggling that the Apostle Paul is engaged in to the end that people know Christ, he said there at verse 24, I rejoice. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul says, I can rejoice in my sufferings. Now, he's not boasting here of accomplishments, and he's not some sort of a weird masochist that just likes suffering. That's not the point. He can rejoice in his sufferings because these things are being used of God and of Jesus Christ for the good of the church and the good news about Jesus going forward. And just speak very briefly about what it says here about sufferings, filling up in his flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. It's a bit of a challenging verse, because then we wonder, wasn't what Jesus did on the cross enough? And we say, absolutely, what Jesus did on the cross was enough. Jesus clearly shouted with a loud voice as he finished his work on the cross, it is finished. The work of salvation is complete. There's nothing he needed to do further, and there's nothing we need to add to what he's done. So clearly, when Paul speaks of the afflictions of Christ, he's not speaking about the fact that Jesus needed to suffer more for our sins. When he's speaking of the afflictions of Christ, rather, he's speaking of this intimate relationship we now have, that we are in Christ, Christ is in us. And therefore, when we go through afflictions in this world, Christ endures them with us. Just as an illustration of that, maybe you know of the account in Acts chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul, he wasn't Apostle Paul yet, you would say he was Saul on the road to Damascus, and a blinding light comes from heaven. And Jesus Christ speaks from heaven and says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Jesus makes plain to Paul, this is Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now, Paul was persecuting the church. The church was suffering. And Jesus was being persecuted thereby. Jesus is afflicted with the afflictions of his people. That's a comfort to know. Jesus cares for you in your afflictions. And Paul can therefore rejoice in this. He is being filled up. He's being completed in an opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus for the well-being of the church by virtue of the fact that he suffers. Now, in these days, we are being called upon to endure hardship. You could say it's a measure of suffering. And by God's grace, we can come to say, but we can rejoice in that and not despair or not grumble and complain. And the reason that we can do so is what Paul fleshes out then in the last verse, verse 29. I labor and I strive. So we see a man who is pouring his heart, pouring his all into it. He's laboring, he's sweating, he's striving, he's agonizing. Would be a way of saying the Greek word that he's using. He's agonizing. So he's acknowledging it's not always easy. But I keep going. Why? How? Not because Paul was such a great guy. Not because Paul had this sense of devotedness that none of us could ever muster up within ourselves. But he says, according to his working, which works in me mightily. It's Christ. It's Christ in you. And let me encourage all of us then, as we go forth, rejoicing in the privilege, Christ in you, the hope of glory, desiring to spread this message to all, that they may know the same blessing, that the life of the Christian in that way is not always going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But you're not left to yourself. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this working, which he works in me mightily, it speaks of the energy, it speaks of the power, the glory of God at work in Jesus Christ. We would say with Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, it's the same power with which Jesus Christ was raised from the dead that is now at work in believers. Now that doesn't mean we go forth from here and we are just simply flying about doing exploits and amazing and wonderful things. Sometimes we go forth from here and we find ourselves laboring and struggling and persevering, but nonetheless, be encouraged. Christ is in you. That's our hope in the gospel. We have the hope of glory, and he will provide for us. He enables this laboring and striving. He is at work. We'll see, the Lord willing, in weeks to come from Philippians again. Philippians 2, verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is the Lord who works within you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So he puts us to work, but he doesn't leave us on his own or on our own. He is at work. It's Christ in you. And let that be an encouragement for us today. Don't let anyone say what we are as a church, what we do together as God's people is irrelevant and really should have no place in this world. The glorious mystery that God has revealed in Jesus Christ and his purposes that are coming to pass are what it's all about. And don't ever get discouraged or despondent in terms of your own weakness. As you work and as you struggle even in and through your weakness, understand, as we rest in Jesus Christ, it's Christ who is working, enabling us to work mightily, as the Apostle Paul says. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that because of what he's done for us on the cross, we may know our sins are forgiven and we do have the sure hope of eternal life. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do not leave us to ourselves. You enable us to go forth in joy, working for the glory of your name. And we thank you that you uphold and strengthen us. We pray that our deep desire would be with the Apostle Paul to say, it's him that we preach. We want others to know about Jesus. We want every man, we want every person to know this blessing. Help us to continue to be a blessing to each other in this way, and to all those you put upon our pathway. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.